I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, the G7 Summit and window cleaners.
As we record this, down in Cornwall, apart from a major amount of congestion because it's the only place you can go on holiday at the moment in the UK.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Got the G7 summit.
It's a bit rude to the other bits of Britain you can go on holiday to as well. I mean, you
but people don't think about those. They just think about the West Country. I know this, having lived down there and seen the influx.
Because I just go, I'd love to go to Cornwall, but I can't be arsed with how difficult it is to get there and back because of the traffic and shit.
No, I'm with you. I think that's what I'm going to do this year. But it didn't stop. It hasn't stopped because as we record this, I think they're going to have a barbecue on the beach for the G7 summit. So we've got all of the world leaders going down there. Joe Biden's down there. I mean, in my head,
Also, again, let's not be rude to the other countries that aren't invited. There's only seven of them.
Okay, Japan.
Yep.
Germany.
Yep.
France.
Yep.
Obviously us.
Yep.
American.
Yep.
Was this... Spain?
No. Nearly. Well, not nearly. Again, that's a bit rude, isn't it? It's Italy.
Oh, sorry. Italy, for sure. What's that? Six?
Yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah. What have you missed?
Canada.
Yay! I was going to give you a clue, and I was trying to think, what's a clue that's not offensive to Canadians? Chips with clotted cheese on top.
Factory made right-hand drive American cars.
Oh.
All made in Canada.
Oh, so it's the country where the Ford GT is made.
Of course it is.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
And where the Dodge Challenger is made.
Is the Chally made there?
Yeah. And the Camaro was made there, but then isn't now for this latest generation.
Oh, I like that.
Hey,
the
guess who's a celebrity Dodge Challenger driver, which sort of surprised me and didn't all at the same time.
Do you mean in the UK or in America?
No, in America.
Celebrity Dodge Challenger driver.
I bet there's a few,
driver.
But very hot, as in like very fashionable of the moment singing artiste.
Not Harry Styles.
No. Although he could do, like I say, I mean, plenty of celebrities could have it, but
he's had a Capri, and I could see him going to for a Chally.
Yeah, I think I saw this in a Pap photo not that long ago. Matt Black looked like sort of recent, possibly Red Eye or you know one of those flared Archie ones.
It was Hellcat.
None other than unsmiling, fashionable musical artist. Billie Eilish.
Non-smiling Billie... Oh, she'll have to go for the red eye.
Yeah. But in a way...
It's a bit vampy.
A black Challenger with a very powerful engine is quite gothy, isn't it? And she's a bit sort of gothy in a way.
She's modern goth.
He says, sounding like a dad. Ooh, I remember goths. No, she's not a goth, Dad.
She's a modern goth. Although I would say it's... I mean, I suppose she's only about 14, isn't she? So... She's got to be driven in it, probably.
No, so there's loads of US states where you can drive when you're seven, aren't there? So
that's true. They've probably reduced it now. Seven was deemed a little bit old. So
seven, that's communism. Yeah, five.
Yeah, that's right. And but Billy, I could see Billy with. I mean, it's not predictable because someone her age probably doesn't normally drive a Dodge Challenger. But
well, it's funny because on the one hand, she's a young person and generally young people seem to, you know, they're concerned about climate change and things like that.
Yeah.
You'd think she might have gone electric or hybrid, you know, something sort of more eco-flavoured image-wise. And no, she's gone full unsmiling muscle car. Except actually the challenging thing is, I look at Billie Eilish, you look at her and you go, the unsmiling thing, she knows what she's doing. It's all part of the image. I think she's probably quite good fun.
Oh, she's an absolute giggle, like Michael Schumacher. He always came across, I thought, as a bit of a non-smiler, but he was a good laugh, notoriously.
Yes, yeah, yeah, No, I have personal experience of that. He's
not sure why I would compare Billie Eilish to Michael Schumacher, but anyway.
Never happened before, but that's not to say it shouldn't, you know.
Well, listen, let me finish. The G7 summit is
Sorry,
on.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I first heard about the G7 summit, with my car head on, I immediately thought, G7, that really rings a bell automotively. I realised it's the size of a Varta car battery that I'm familiar with. But I don't think that's relevant. And
the Varta car battery conference.
Yes, it's a specific size of Varta with how many cold cranking amps. I don't know, but maybe they're arguing about whether it should increase its cold cranking amps. But in my head, I'm thinking this: the G7 summit held down in Cornwall. They're going to be talking about important issues, right, Rich? Really important issues. I think this is what I know what they're discussing. How far is too far when modifying a T6 VW Transporter? They've got to go down to Cornwall.
It's a very Cornish topic.
They're going down to the heartland of it where they all congregate. It's the pilgrimage of the T5 and T6, sometimes T4, or if you're if you're a proper VW driver, you'll have an air-cooled slow one. All the countries have come together to universally agree, what's too far? Is plastic hibiscus flowers on the rearview mirror, is that a step too far?
Yeah.
Are we going to go, how many decals are allowed? Are we going for a bonnet bra, or are we all in a universal agreement that in Britain it's stupid and pointless? Are we going to go for modern alloys? Are we going to go for old school small diameter, bigger tyre?
Yeah, and so suddenly Angela Merkel's like, I will allow those alloys off late model Mark II Golf GTI 16 valves. And the Italians are like, no, absolutely not. No, because they're not factory. And then the Italians are getting really dug in, and they're even saying that aftermarket two-tone paint is unacceptable.
Oh, gosh, that's big sweeping
The news. Italians have gone really purist this year. And
what about diamond-stitched? What about diamond-stitched upholstery? Are the Italians going, we love this, we love this?
They actually left the room for a bit because they were so angry about it.
God.
The Canadians are just like, what's the problem here? It's okay. I think, you know.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden's he's trying to sort of go, listen, look, it's totally acceptable to just have a dually with a camper back on it down in Cornwall.
Well, yeah.
Just go, Joe, it won't fit.
Yeah, he's absolutely baffled why you wouldn't just get a bespoke motorhome with on a Ford chassis.
54 feet long. It's perfect for these back lanes of Cornwall. I know the motorcade's been flying around down there. And of course, the security's at an all-time high. In my head, because Corona and cause recession, I did wonder, wouldn't it be great if somebody just snaffled around the UK in the months leading up to it and just found as many Cadillac BLSs they had lying around and just went, look, we need six of them. They've all got to be black. Can we just do this quickly? And they just got them all, threw them all down to Cornwall, put some flags on them. Just said to Joe, because most people in the UK don't know what a good or a bad American car is. They just go, oh, it's an American car. Just go, yeah, look, we've got a fleet of Cadillacs for you, Joe. They're all here. They've all been, like, detailed right up.
I have a feeling, though, Biden is a car guy, isn't he? He seems to be moderately interested in cars.
Hey, I'm a car guy.
I think he would say, what the hell is that? Because the BLS was never sold in the US, so it's a mystery Cadillac to maybe Biden would go, oh, wow, it's a BLS, because he knows a bit about cars.
Oh, maybe because he's a car guy. Or maybe
he'd have demanded to see one. While I'm here in Britain, can you bring me a BLS? I want to have a look at it.
I want
just for my own interest. How many Saab parts are visible in the interior? Can I just go and listen, guys? He says to his Secret Service detail, "You're going to have to give me 30 minutes. I need to go and check this out." And he's just crawling over it, going, whoa,
"Wow, God, what a car! Okay,
this park brake is not the
does he say car place. Like Robert Duvall in Days of Thunder? He says core.
You've
got to drive. You've got to drive the core. It's C O R.
Core.
I think it's C O R. Got to drive the core. Got to drive the core.
Core.
You got to feel the core.
Core.
I love the way they say core. Sort of. I quite like it. So I'm thinking, I want Biden to be a core guy. He's a core guy. Not like the female band from, not the female Irish band. We've been there. We've been down that road.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, a load of BLSs, or maybe Boris because he's sort of going, oh shit, I've got to kind of spin this positively with his marketing head on. He's going, oh no, these are Cornish centric Cadillacs. They're much better for the back lanes. Very, very narrow and small down here. We can't possibly have a full size American car. So gone for a BLS, a couple of BLSs. They're perfect, Joe. Look, narrow lanes. Oh look, there's a cream tea. Let's go and have one. And he'll quickly just skirt around the issue. Everyone's in the BLS, you know, all these sort of 24 stone henchmen can't quite fit in it. So all the windows are down, their arms are on the doors. So it's sort of not very bulletproof. I'm wondering the biggest topic at the G7 summit is Volkswagen unveiling this multivan, this new multivan that's not a Caravelle anymore. And it's like a reclothed modern Charan. And maybe they're all discussing whether this is allowed into the transporter fraternity. And is that okay? Is that going to erode the ID buzz coming? Are the traditionalists who have the split screen and the bay window and the Type 25, are they okay with this? That's what the G7's about, Rich.
I mean, these topics that you're introducing here are, you know, they're pretty deep.
They're hard hitting.
I imagine they spend so much time talking about it and then suddenly they go, okay, anyway, climate change. Oh, shit, we're out of time. All right, well, anyway, next year, see you then, bye.
No, someone from one of the countries that we don't know so much about, the sun will be getting low and they'll be going, well, we've got the evening, do it. Then one of them will go, listen, we'll talk about climate change in a minute. In the meantime, I brought a guitar. Let's have a fire pit on the beach.
Which of those seven countries do you not know so much about?
I mean, France.
It's a total mystery to me. What's the capital? Francetown.
Franceville. No, you know what I mean. I mean, if it was a trivia,
how's it pronounced?
Quiz.
Canada. Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of it before. There's only seven of them, and you know them.
I bet you've been to all of them.
Have you been to all of them? I bet you have.
I've been to Japan. I've been to America. I've been to Germany, been to France, been to Italy.
Canada?
No, I've not been to bloody Canada. There you go. I don't know much about Canada. I've always wanted to go to Canada. I've never been.
It's nice.
I'd like to go.
Vancouver, delightful city.
Mm.
Toronto too. They're good. Ottawa, interesting
there
place.
There we go. And wasn't Fox Mulder from Martha's Vineyard? That's in Canada, isn't it? Is it?
No, that's in New England.
Oh, bollocks. I've got that completely
wrong. But most famous Americans are Canadian, it strikes me.
Justin Bieber.
Dan Aykroyd.
He's Canadian.
Dan Aykroyd, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
I've said that with too much confidence now, and I'm starting to doubt myself. But almost.
What about the guy who plays
Aykroyd
Deadpool that my wife fancies? What's his name? Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, he's super Canadian.
He's Canadian, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically the most Canadian man around because of his niceness. Michael Bublé, there's another one.
Oh, Canada, yes.
So I think it's because of the Canadian temperament. It's very saleable overseas because you get that kind of American razzmatazz, but with a bit more of that sort of, oh, God, he's not got a gun on him, has he? Canadian sort of moderate temperament. I think it's very marketable around the world. So Bublé and Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd, I've just looked it up. Dan Aykroyd is Canadian. Phew.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a huge relief.
Now, talking of the G7, I was going to say, you know they always do the big group shot of all the leaders together.
Of course they do.
But what I would like is a group shot of all the leaders' cars together. I don't want the leaders in it. I mean, they could do, I suppose, but... But so you've got Biden with the Beast, that massive Cadillac.
Yes.
Now, I haven't seen any footage of people turning up.
I've seen some motorcades of Biden going through very remote Cornish villages and it looking extremely odd.
Did you see that one of the motorcade at night going down an A road in Cornwall? And I presume they'd closed the whole road because they were driving on the American side.
Ooh.
And I was thinking, I hope to God that road is closed because otherwise... Someone's not briefed them properly about which side we drive.
Oh no, I've done that.
I've
driven a 70s Oldsmobile down to Cornwall. There's no sides of the road. You just drive the Oldsmobile down the road.
No, but this was an A road. They were very definitely driving on the right and on that side of a clear white line.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, oh, it must be dual carriageway. And I was like, oh, it's not there, is it? You can't see the other carriageway. It's just, it was shot, someone had filmed it on their phone from a bridge, I think. And
well,
yeah, I presume they'd closed the road, but it was,
so I hope they had. I do. I mean, it's just weird that they're all in Cornwall, but I kind of like it. When I looked up G7...
Because they have picked a bit of the UK that's more of an arse ache to get to. They might as well have gone to...
Well, they've done it now.
Sky or something.
But they've done it right now when everyone's trying to go on
peak
holiday.
Season.
We can't go abroad. So most people are defaulting, as you said, down to Cornishwall. So by very nature, you're being funneled down into the bottom left of Britain. For all foreign people listening to this podcast who's not familiar with Cornwall, it's the southwest, like, tapered end. They call it the lizard.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. I'm pretty sure. Like you, I've now got to look that up to make sure I'm not talking artist
horseshit. Isn't the lizard a specific bit? I can't remember.
Oh, it's all lizard.
Is it anywhere near Westward Ho?
Well, Westward Ho's in Devon, not Cornwall.
Oh, is it? Beg your pardon.
This podcast is shambolic. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't even know where the places are.
You've noticed that now. Westward Ho, I think, and again, I'm going to say this with confidence, even though I'm not certain, but I think Westward Ho is the only place name in Britain with an exclamation mark in it.
I think you're right.
Strikes me that another town in Britain could really suck the wind out of Westward Ho's sails by just sticking an exclamation mark on the end of their name. Watford!
That's just a great
Leamington
idea.
Spa!
Yeah, there's a couple of interestingly named villages near me. I could see an exclamation mark at the end. What about two? Imagine if Westward Ho put two on the end.
Well, what if they retaliated by adding a question mark as well as the exclamation mark? Westward Ho? And then it all gets madly out of hand.
Do you like the exclamation mark and then the question? It's like a proclamation followed by almost unsure.
Yeah. It's a sort of more sophisticated way of saying WTF, really, isn't it? You just stick it on the end of... I used it in a message to someone last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the word vagina.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good name for a Cornish village.
Well, it was sort of inadvertently implied that the next Aston Martin might be called the Vagina, which of course it won't be, but they do like names beginning with V, don't they? And so I used the... Do you find as you get older, I used to hate exclamation marks.
Oh, yeah. I was told doing journalism, I was told that you just don't use them.
You simply
don't use them.
And I once had someone put some exclamation marks into some copy of mine. A sub-editor put it in and it got published like that. And I had a massive tantrum about it because I just thought they're cheesy and trite and unnecessary. And but now
I'm
I find
okay
myself
now.
Using them in emails and things. Yeah, it's quite casual. Sometimes it just softens things, doesn't it? A bit like just go, sorry, I haven't done the work. I shat my pants! !
Well, it's better than just shat my pants, full stop. Anyway, don't reference it again.
Sounds rather like...
Oh, I know. The other thing is, when I realised that the G7 was a model of car battery by Varta, I also double-checked that on Google, and it came up with... There's a very, very large taxi company in France called G7, and their website's g7.fr.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not making this shit up. They've got 9,000 taxis in Paris alone.
Wow.
Yeah, they're the first taxi company in Europe, apparently, and they've got the largest fleet of hybrid and electric vehicles, almost 4,000 hybrid and electric vehicles.
What? Well, golly.
Is that info for you?
That is info.
You down
I'm
with that?
Look them up now, because do they have pictures of what cars they have on their website?
They might do. They're not paying us to say this, sadly, but it's g7.fr.
Yeah.
I always used to think FR was stupid for, because my friend used to have a Yamaha FR80 moped and we used to call it the fuck right off 80. FRA, fuck right off 80.
Oh, now there's a problem here because this website's all in French.
I've also found another company, and this is hard hitting, Rich. This is the research that I do for Smith & Sniff. G7scents.co.uk, scent as in the smell. Welcome to G7 UK. Well, that just sounds like one of those hastily named businesses that we were talking about in a previous podcast. Quick, call it something. Yeah, the G7. Oh, my gosh, the G7 scent. You can buy a scent box, an automotive cherry dash dressing. Actually, that looks quite good.
Hang on. This is nothing to do with the taxi company. This is a different G7.
No, go to G7scents, as in the scent of a person, .co.uk. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's you can shop... Look, in the G7 automotive scents, you can buy a G7 car diffuser. I mean, the packaging is terrible. I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
The packaging's awful.
Oh, this is just wholesale stuff with a...
Yeah,
with a
G7, bubblegum car spray air freshener.
Good God.
It's terrible, but the fact is, it's a G. It's G7. It's G7.
Yeah.
I did for a second think that the Genesis, the car manufacturer who are new to the UK, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they had a model called the G7, but I think it's the G7T. So we've got to wait for a few more summits.
I tell you what, I was just reading the reviews last week of their first two cars to come to Britain, which is what, the G80 and the GX80, is it? Which is the SUV?
Yeah, I think it is the 80.
And
yeah.
I was looking at the details before the reviews came out, and I was going, ooh, I wonder if those are going to be soft as fuck. I bet they're going to be soft as fuck. And sure enough, the reviews basically say they're soft as fuck. So I'm kind of interested
when, now. When you say soft, are you talking Kenny G at a party no one's ever going to kick off at?
Yeah,
Kenny G's playing.
No, I mean, as in, you know, nice squidgy suspension, basically. Like, prioritising ride comfort and quietness over sportiness, which, you know, there's plenty of sportiness.
You're driving 37 in a 40 limit. You're listening to some Herb Alpert.
Yeah. Or a bit of Sade, you know, that'd be nice and chilling.
Absolutely.
And you're just comfortable as anything, and it's like having a big hot bath.
I wonder what you were going to say then.
So I might try and borrow one of those Genesis size just to see, because I like a squidgy soft high depreciation car, and they seem to have got all of those elements written all over them.
See, I'm looking forward to it. I was supposed to drive it this week, but I ended up being too busy.
Oh, did you?
Underneath
Were you?
A
was
Dodge
you? From,
yeah, I was supposed to go and play with it this week, and I just couldn't.
Oh,
so, unfortunately. But I have to say, should we put that on the list of cars that we should go and make a Smith & Sniff video with at some point, possibly?
Possibly.
If we do videos again.
Definitely on the list. Yeah. Well, we're talking about it. We're trying to figure out how to do it, aren't we?
But yeah. Yes. I mean, it's not like Led Zeppelin discussing getting back together and doing a concert. It's not on that level, is it? But
no. Well, and neither of us is dead as we speak, so I think we're up on the deal there.
That's quite true. Yeah.
What I was going to say about the G7 and the leaders' cars is only that I can't figure out, assuming they've all brought cars from home, what they would have, because we know Biden's got that Cadillac, but I'm wondering, has what's his name of Japan got
a Century?
A Toyota Century?
We'll have to speak to
him. Or is he settled for a Lexus LS?
What the 600H or whatever it is.
They might just do a locally supplied Lexus LS. Or do they need to be bulletproof? Is everybody bulletproofed up? I don't know.
I bet you the Japanese president isn't bulletproof. I bet he's quite cool about it. And also, Boris, he flew to Cornwall from London. And this is for an environmentally centric summit. And I thought, hang on, he's got a ropey Previa in the garage covered in algae. Why isn't he just getting that bad boy? Do a late nighter, go down at night when there's less holidaymakers with caravans.
Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you? That's it. But that's the thing. I saw that, and I saw there was a great deal of outcry about, you idiot, going to a climate conference by jet.
Yeah.
When you're only, you know, a couple hundred miles away, whatever it is.
Well, yeah.
But there was a part of me went, no, fuck right. If I had a jet, I'd go to Cornwall by jet, because otherwise it's an absolute pain in the...
Well, that's because they stop
there,
the motorway about 670 miles up the road. What they should do is actually just finish the motorway in Cornwall. And then...
Didn't your dad build that motorway?
My dad helped build what was the M5 going down from sort of, what, Bristol... all the way down.
So could you ask your dad to come out of retirement and sort it out?
Oh, like one last job?
Yeah, one exactly one last job.
I could do, couldn't I?
I'm out of the motorway game now.
He's out of the game. He's
come
out of the game.
Come on, son.
My dad specialised in bridge structures, so he would often do the bridges near and over the M5, but obviously dealt with the foundations.
Well, there's going to need to be a load of bridges, so, you know, come on.
We could do what, maybe I should say to him, let's go for a really flamboyant bridge where it isn't necessarily needed. That's what Cornwall needs. Let's have a flamboyant bridge.
Well, it's a talking point, isn't it? But I think, I mean, I'm talking about a motorway that just, you know, basically it goes right to the tip.
Yes.
Let's not muck around here. No matter where you want to get to in Cornwall, there's a fucking great motorway goes there. Well, you know, goes down the centre of Cornwall, basically. So
I'm with you on that. I think that's a really good idea. I'd see if my old man's up for it.
But then also, it's going to get very quickly congested again, because, you know, it's sort of human beings fill available space, don't they? So I'm thinking, let's not muck around here. obviously you can't just sort of buy a huge strip of land to do an 8-laner or something, or a 10-laner. No. What you're going to have to do is California spec double decker.
Oh, great idea.
And again, that makes the whole motorway basically a bridge, so your dad can really roll his sleeves up.
That's great. Dad gets loads of work out of retirement. Might actually treat himself to a new car. He's never... he has owned a new car, but only one. That's a really, really good idea. Yeah. What would we do? Freight down the bottom, keep it hidden away from the high wind.
Yeah.
Scenic route on top.
I've often thought about this because I thought it was a way to make the M6 less of an absolute arse because it gets up towards the northwest. And, yeah, you see, I thought, you know, maybe on the one hand you'd go freight on the top because then you could build the top deck lower if it was only cars going. But then, you know... You don't... First of all, the top would have to be stronger because of all the lorries.
Yes.
Which is expensive.
Yes.
And secondly, everyone in the car's trapped forever in a sort of under a flyover. I mean...
It's a bit
If you're
it's
in your
a
car,
bit
you want
shady.
The nice view of being higher up. So I think you just got to build the legs higher.
Yes.
Stick all the trucks down below.
Yes.
And cars only on the top deck. Nice view. And no lorries, so you get there quicker.
On the, or maybe lorries only travel at night.
My dad always used to go on about that. My dad was slightly obsessed with this idea that lorries and caravans should only be allowed to travel at night.
Well, there's method to that.
But they sort of, lorries already do travel at night as well, don't they? I mean, you must have driven, you know, sort of proper nocturnal drive on a motorway.
Oh, come on, look who you're talking to.
I know, I can say you sort of only do
driving.
That.
Come on, I've got the badges. I know the rules. I know the rules.
You've got that badge on the back of your car that just says, I drive tired! Exclamation mark.
I drive at night! 3 exclamation marks, and I don't mind who finds out.
3?
That's brilliant. It's 2 a.m., I'm drinking coffee, and the children are asleep. Let's do this. No, my wife won't let us do family night driving because she can't stand the idea of the kids possibly getting out of sleeping arrangements or habits, which annoys me because we do the thing that everyone does where we wake up, everyone gets in the car at about 7:30, 8 a.m. and then we hit all of the traffic everywhere. And by the time we get to our destination, everyone hates one another and me and my wife are possibly going to divorce. And that's what happens every time. So whereas if when I'm going solo, when I'm you know, a ronin of the road, I will always go for the dawn raid on these things and then get there for breakfast as like a reward.
Johnny Smith is a lone wolf of the road.
Yeah.
He's not stopping for anyone unless he needs a piss.
Exactly. But you know what you know, because of the glory hole incident, I will always just do the pulling over, both doors open, 30 seconds of hosing into the hedge and straight back in again. It's a proper...
Both doors open? Which doors?
Well, if it's a four door car, you open the passenger door and then you open the rear passenger door and
you make yourself a WAS kiosk. Do you not do that?
Come on, look, I'm not bothered if somebody sees my ding-a-ling, but I don't want to get arrested.
A slash nook, an impromptu slash nook on the motorway.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I see. Yes, now I did have to do that once on a country lane. I was absolutely desperate. But you know, also, because we've had this when we've been driving around before, that I declare that I need a wee and then I get all indecisive about where to pull in.
Yeah, but this is what gave birth to the piss vista conversation a while back.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
You need a good vista sometimes to make it worth it. It's got to feel special.
Why would you not? Don't you just want to go up? Because I think, you know, we're always being told hard shoulders are dangerous and stuff. Like, if your car got cuffed by a truck...
Yes.
The back door would scoop you along in the accident. Whereas, why don't you just walk up the bank and behind a bush?
I do sometimes walk up the bank if it looks easy and it doesn't look like I'm going to fall over into a load of fly tipping and bottles of piss. But I normally just go for the... I'm not afraid of hard shoulders, Rich.
I feel like someone's going to write in and say that this is illegal.
Well, it is. It probably is illegal.
I mean,
but I'm willing to live with it being illegal in the same way that I drove my Jag with no front number plate for 2 years and the police didn't give a toss. I don't mind.
Well,
I'm willing to.
You know what else is illegal? What? Is driving at 90 miles an hour to the nearest services because you really need a wee. That's illegal too. So
glory holing's illegal, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it could be.
But I'm going to say it is because I think it would probably count as indecent exposure. Like
what, you don't say? You don't say, do you? What, an unidentified phallus wedging its way through a jagged hole in a cubicle? Yeah, I'd say that was, I'd say that was indecent exposure, Rich. Yeah. Going to just put that out there. But back to the G7 summit.
Yes.
So we've got,
why you're not on local radio, I don't know.
So we've got,
anyway, more about glory holes later, but first the G7 summit.
I'm thinking Canada were the ones that led the charge to, hey, let's go, I've got an acoustic guitar, let's go and sit on the beach and I'm going to sing a song while there's going to be a campfire, which is obviously quite bad for the environment, but we'll skirt over that. And meanwhile, Boris is trying to convince everyone that, like, who needs a transporter when you've got a Previa? Previa, I've had free Previas, it's very good. But Boris would have the generic tribal tattoo graphic on the side of the Previa with mismatching hubcaps, and he'd just be like, it doesn't matter, it's fine.
I mean, I think you're right on one point, which is that Justin Trudeau does have the look of a man who brings a guitar to a party.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he was asked not to.
Well, no, he was asked. So, he was asked not to. When you were told to turn up at the G7, it was specifically, look, don't bring unnecessary things, don't instigate unnecessary conversations. So Justin turns up, and after about an hour and a half, he goes, oh, this is getting a bit boring. Should we go down to the coast? I've got my acoustic guitar in the back of my rig.
Your shoes? Why aren't you wearing shoes and socks anymore? Yeah. What's going on here? Well, we're going down to the beach.
Yeah.
No, but it's a world leaders conference. You can't just...
Go to the beach. And Biden, he's given Biden a load of, bracelets. Gap year bracelets. He's giving everyone gap year bracelets.
But then they turn round and they're looking for Macron. And they can't find him. He's wandered off into the local town to peruse some really terrible beach art in a shop.
Oh, of course he has.
He comes back and he's got, oh, God, why have you bought that awful painting of a boat at low tide?
Well, generic.
It's like all pastely blue.
Yeah, generic pastel seaside painting. Actually, what would how would Macron sit with the VW Transporter summit in the West Country? How would he, because obviously being French he would have to lead the charge on,
he's
like, maybe we don't need a Volkswagen Transporter, maybe we should go for
something else.
Yeah,
he's covertly trying to push the Peugeot Expert with a camper conversion,
isn't he?
Or even one of those old Talbots with a massive snail back on it.
Talbot Conti.
This is irrelevant to the discussion, Emmanuel. Please stop bringing up French campers. No one wants a French camper. Even the French don't want a French camper.
The Talbot Contiki. And then he's like, I remember the Contiki. Has he had a little sort of cheeky backhander from Stellantis? And they're saying, listen, we make a lot of worthy vans, and of course we're Stellantis, so it has to be the party bus. So he turns up in a Stellantis party bus, and it's actually called the Party Bus Edition. Just to make it a little bit awkward. you know, like when Germany did the VW Golf Bon Jovi, and you're like, ooh, even if I like Bon Jovi, I'm not sure I'll buy that. It's kind of like that. Look, it's the party bus. Yeah. Yeah, party bus. Yeah, party bus. Macron says party. Party, party, bus.
He's got MC Macron.
MC Cron. It would be, wouldn't it? And he'd have a... I'm trying to think of the really... Actually, because obviously the summit talks a lot about environmental vehicles, he'd have to turn up in a fully electric Stellantis commercial. I've driven a couple. They're pretty good, actually. He'd be in the... is it the Peugeot Partner? The E-Partner? And the, something like that. But yes, it would have some good graphics on it. I think it would have some big sound system obvs. Stellantis focused, maybe a strobe. Actually, yeah, because obviously when they go down on the beach and Trudeau plays the guitar and everyone tries to ignore him, but he ropes them in with his gap year bracelets. Obviously, the Stellantis fan just suddenly comes right onto the beach, and it's got one of those huge lasers out of the sunroof. You know where you can see it all over the whole country,
like right across the bay.
Into the sky like a Batman calling sign. And then it's quickly followed by, yeah, Infinity by Guru Josh or something similar. And everyone's like, Justin, listen, this is great, but we're going over there because there's some uplifting dance vibes that are being kicked out by Macron's crew.
Is he about? Because if Trudeau's being truly Canadian, he's probably, what's he playing? Some Neil Young on his guitar.
Oh, do you know what? I bloody hate Neil Young. I'm sorry. I really do. Such a
boring. I know
boring,
what you mean.
So boring. I've tried to like it because everyone goes on about how good Legendary is. It's just so dumb.
He is one of those artists you're meant to like because he's supposed to be good, but I find his voice whiny and irritating.
It's a heart of gold. Why am I friend? And I'm like, it is whiny. It's a bit like an animal trapped outside the cat flap, trying to claw its way back in the cat flap when it's raining. Please let me.
Trapped Cat.
Yes.
Neil Young. Okay, this next one's called Trapped Cat.
Please let me back in because I'm wet and it's raining.
Just shut your cat in a cupboard, you'll get the same effect.
Heart of gold. Oh, did you? I went to, I took my kids to a seaside town for a day out because I've been working far too much and not.
God, that sounds like a song lyric, but I don't know who by.
By Neil Young.
I took my kids to a seaside town.
I went to the seaside town with
not
my
Neil,
kids.
Not Neil Young.
He does it in a sorrowful way.
Yeah.
But
anyway, yes, you took your kids to a seaside town. Yeah, you did, didn't you? Because you were leaving me messages all day.
Oh, gosh, it was so... For people watching, it was incredible. But the reason why I'm telling you on the...
You never took... You promised me a picture of a man with an extraordinary... hairstyle.
The one with the Legend Authentic t-shirt.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And then you promised me the picture of it, and then it never came. And I'll be honest, I spent the afternoon going, oh, like, I'm sure he's going to send it soon.
The guy... So we were queuing up on the Dodgems, and there was loads of airbrushing, which you might have seen that I sent you a couple of
pictures.
So there's loads of like sports cars which don't quite look like any sports car, and then there was the Formula One racing driver who I think was Mika Häkkinen, or he could be like Michael hacking them if he was not quite Mika, and which I was chuckling about. But the Dodgems weren't very good style bodies. I was a bit annoyed at how generic they are. They did look like one of those cars in insurance commercials, which aren't supposed to look like anything in particular. But but what did get me chuckling is as people were like driving them around and smashing into one another needlessly, all of them said sport on the sort of lower sill area. So I just found myself, every time I saw one, almost like a tick, I would point and say, spoked, spoked, spoked. And then I realised there were a family behind me and they were just looking at me like I was one of these people with, you know, who gets taken out on day trips. So I stopped doing that. And then I just started people watching on the Dodgems. And there's definitely a certain person.
Spoked.
There were some people that genuinely can't drive Dodgems. So my kids were watching. They can't drive Dodgems, Rich. They go round in a tight circle for the whole time, as in like a dizzy pirouette, and they just don't know how to get out of it, like it's trapped in a whirlwind. And then there's other people, and this is brilliant, where they crash into somebody or the edge, and they can't work out how to reverse the dodgem. They just sit there and then get smashed into time after time. There was a woman with her child and she just kept getting piled into, and she was just sat there with the steering wheel dead ahead with the foot still on the throttle, presumably, and just not understanding why it wasn't reversing. And I just had my head in my hands. So I pointed out these people to my kids and said, right, kids, as soon as you sit in the Dodgem, put your foot on the throttle. You never take your foot off the throttle. That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the foot stays on the throttle the whole time, regardless of the incident. Then you just keep spinning the wheel. If you hit somebody, you spin it until it goes backwards. But don't keep spinning it so that when it starts going backwards, you keep spinning it again, because then it goes forwards again. Because all you're doing then is smashing to and fro and to and fro constantly. But yeah, so my kids were fine with it. And I taught them the necessary dad manoeuvre of instantly going into reverse as soon as the music starts and it all kicks off. So you put your arm over the passenger seat, and you do the whole lap in reverse, high speed, and everyone tries to get you because they think you're being like too cool for school, which I am, and you just do the whole race in reverse, just because obviously it's the same speed in reverse. But yeah, this the guy that really cracked me up was a guy that had sort of had a bit of a like COVID non-haircut. He had very dark hair and a huge bald spot that looked like a fried egg. And his hair was sort of flailing around everywhere. And he had a black T-shirt on. And all it said in massive letters was "Legend Authentic." And I thought, that's if that isn't a T-shirt from the local market, then I don't know what is. Just phenomenal. Legend Authentic. Okay, what about Authentic Legend? Surely it should be the other way around. But anyway, that cracked me up. But yeah, the Dodgems were disappointingly slow, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But we were free from incident. We had a kid that was going around the wrong way, and that really got the operator angry. Because obviously, I mean, there's very simple rules with Dodgems. Drive the same way, no head-on collisions intentionally.
Yeah.
What, no spitting, no cans of Coke. What else?
no cans of lager.
I would love, honestly, one day... We'll do this. One day we'll have a Smith and Sniff roadshow. We'll have a Dodgem arena, and it'll be drinky Dodgems. I think it'll be absolutely spectacular. I can imagine it.
Didn't you have Dodgems at your wedding?
Yeah, I did, yeah. We had a Dodgem arena at the wedding. It cost me more money than the other elements of the wedding. But I insisted on it. It was amazing. Yeah. Honestly, it was legendary. I didn't use it enough, because you know what your wedding's like. It's a bit of a blur. But yeah, we had a thoroughly good time. We had a wedding Dodgem, so one of them had a white ribbon on it.
Oh, nice touch!
So, because we didn't have our first drive somewhere in a wedding car, because we didn't need to go anywhere, so we were on the same site for the ceremony and the reception. So we just thought we'll go have a bit of a dick around in a Dodgem instead. So that's what we did. Yeah, nice. It was really good, fun, and there was no. I think there was no airbrushed kind of strange racing drivers on ours. You know, ones where, you know, is that David Coulthard or is that Elvis? I can't tell. I don't know, because of the airbrushing.
Now, look.
Listen.
What was I going to say? Oh, I don't know. Oh, well, there's some new cars around. I mean, heaven forfend we talk about new cars, but I just noticed there's quite a lot of stuff happened in the last week, including the official release of that Tesla Model S Plaid. Which has already been announced, hasn't it?
But
now
edition.
It's like the plaid shirt has been announced, and they've cancelled the plaid plus, I noticed, for some reason or other. But
didn't Elon say there's the no actual, need because the plaid's good enough?
I think it is actually no need, but the thing is, the plaid plus has got the different and new type of battery in it, so I think really it's probably that they haven't got that ready yet. So he's just sort of, as usual, kind of BSing his way out of an problem. But I watched some of the presentation. I mean, some of the stuff on that car looks really impressive, not least the performance. But they've done some things like there are no air vents. It just diffuses the air through, which I remember talking to a car designer about 20 years ago, and he said, we'd love to do that because it's way more efficient way of just keep, you can just control the interior temperature of a car with air that, I think he said, we want to do this sort of like porous dash top, and air is just, the temperature controlled air comes through that. But customers really want to feel a hot or cold draft, essentially.
Yeah.
Psychologically, it makes them feel like they're heating up or cooling down.
Yes.
And that's why. And it's why the Phaeton, you remember the VW Phaeton?
Yeah.
The vents could be covered because they would achieve that diffused air thing, but then the covers could retract to reveal real vents to provide them for people who wanted that blast of air. So it's interesting Tesla have decided that they'll just go full diffused air because it is, it seems, like a more... logical and sensible system. So there's that. But I was watching it going, Elon Musk is literally the worst presenter in the world.
Is he?
Oh my God, he's so awkward. It's like hard to watch. And he sort of chuckles at his own jokes that aren't funny. And it's horrible to watch. You go, I don't know why people deify this man, because he's excruciating. The other way, because, you know, obviously there's parallels with Steve Jobs, who used to sort of present his own products on stage.
And, yeah.
But Steve Jobs was... good at it.
Well, Steve Jobs
was quite persuasive, and you could see why people would go, oh, my man's a genius, in that sort of slightly worrying cultish sort of way where people are clapping minor things that are announced. But well, you could sort of go, well, Steve Jobs got that sort of Masonic quality to him that you could see where people were getting sucked in. But yeah. Elon Musk, I just go, oh my God, he's like just stepped out of chess club to come and show you something he's made in with a battery. But the car itself, I mean, I think it's quite impressive.
I think it looks really good. Well, only because the Model S is the only good-looking Tesla anyway.
I've worn to the Model 3. I know it's quite gawky from head-on, but I sort of think it's not a bad-looking car. And they're all over the place around my neck of the woods now.
Yeah, I've done the opposite. It's got worse for me the more I've looked at it. Do you know what it is? It's the really, really low windscreen. You can almost see the crotch of the driver coming towards you. It's so low, you can see in. You can just see fully in. And
That's funny, isn't it? Because there's some cars where you do, and it's sort of old cars are like this, where you sort of feel almost exposed because of how much people outside can see you.
Yeah.
It's something that always bugs me about Land Rover products, is that the electric window switches are on the window sill.
Oh, yeah, they're awful. They're so high.
And it always bothers me because you go, but people can see me operating my electric windows. And it's like, there's no logic to that. Because you go, well, they probably know you are because they can see the windows going up and down. But it's a private matter when I'm operating my switches.
It's when it starts to rain and you've left the window down a bit, the rain immediately rains into the switches, which I've always thought that's a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah.
And we've all had a window down a bit when it started to rain. And even if you're just caught in it for 30 seconds, that's a terrible, terrible design idea.
Well, in fairness, window switches are tested for that because they get wet when you open the door.
Put them in board. You know, I know they do it for like the old school way for cheapness and stuff, for packaging in the door. But like your Defender has them, my Jimny has them. Put them in board. And then if you leave a door open in the rain, there's no technology to get trashed. And let's face it, electric technology inside a Land Rover is a tetchy subject at times anyway. So I'm saying no more. I'm saying no more.
Yeah, I won't tell you what happened to my Range Rover last week.
Oh, you're joking.
It's fine. It still works. It's just...
No.
It
still works. It's just that the horn and the hazard warning lights go on everywhere.
No, it's
but
not.
But it's fine.
It's fine. It's a thing. It's okay. It works. It's just not working as well as it might, and it's just awaiting a new
I'm still
part.
A bit surprised that you've bought that car, if I'm honest. I shouldn't say this on the podcast, but I am.
Well, look, but the half term just gone, we went away for two holidays. We went briefly down to Llatlick to a hotel, and then we went and stayed in a big teepee in a field in Kent for a couple of nights. And it's a bloody great family car for those kind of things because you can just get lots of stuff in it, and it's got big windows so the kids can see out of, you know, when you're sort of driving down the coast road and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's proving its worth as a family car.
Okay.
But you know what it's like? Our children are of an age where they just come with a lot of stuff because they just do, and it's scooters and little bikes and all this sort of malarkey, and it's just great to be able to get it all inside the car. Because scooters you can't really put on the roof or on the back, and I hate those things anyway, the external bicycles.
You just reminded me. When I was driving to my first classic car show in nearly 2 years or whatever it was, the other weekend at Bicester.
I was so jealous because that's when we were sleeping in a teepee in a field in Kent, and I suddenly realised it was the Scramble and I couldn't go. And then
it's my first Scramble.
Looking at social media, everyone I know went to it and looked like they had a great time, including you.
Well, I got the I'd spent sort of 3 days previous preparing the Dodge, getting the charger out of hibernation and getting it summer ready. And that's my headline for a female magazine. Get your car summer body ready. Oil, plugs, make sure the headlights work, make sure the mice haven't eaten through the wiper motor wires, all the usual. But yeah, I drove there, and the reason why I'm telling you this is because I pulled up at a junction, set off quite early, pulled up at a junction on a Sunday morning, very early near somewhere in Bedfordshire, and a woman pulled up inside me in a people carrier. She looked quite young, maybe 25, and the windows were all down, and she was listening to Scooter. Dun dun da 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 da. It was so Euro. I was just quite shocked. And she was no one else in the car. I think she'd either just dropped the kids off somewhere really early, and this was her freedom.
Blowing off some steam, yeah.
She was blowing off some Euro steam. And the problem is you don't hear at the lights, and it's increasingly difficult to know whether to make eye contact at the lights.
Yeah.
I still don't know what the deal is. It depends what you're driving, what mood you're in. You've got to gauge these situations. But with the Dodge, I always make full eye contact because I know that most people won't want to make it with me.
Yeah.
So I made eye contact with her. And she just left Scooter right up, and it was so loud. And I had the window down, so it was like... And I was in a left-hand drive car, of course, so...
Oh, yes.
I'm closer to her. Mm. We're not actually that far away at the lights. And we were just both having to withstand him going, "Move your arse!" It was, I mean, really quite bad.
It's not... It's just reminded me of something I just saw the other morning when I was walking our daughter to nursery. There was a window cleaner's van pulled in at the side of the road, and from it was blaring, not mega loud, not obnoxiously loud, but audible because the window was down. Some absolute vocoder toss of the type that we were talking about. I don't even know who it was, but it was just like heavy vocoder, slightly dancey music. And in it, sitting in this little Fiesta van with the engine running, was the window cleaner himself rolling a spliff.
Oh gosh!
At about 8:15 in the morning, and I was like, "What? I don't. I mean, is that wise? You're going to spend the day going up and down ladders?
Oh. Is he ladder based? Because I know a lot of them now just go for the telescopic large.
Yeah, no, this bloke. He had a Fiesta van.
Because the ladders are too much hassle.
There were two quite big ladders on top of the Fiesta van, full overhang. You know.
So are you going to go up a four-storey townhouse after you having a load of Moroccan black, and you're going to be wobbling all over this shop, aren't
but,
you?
But no, that was the first thing that I thought was, oh, that's quite a small van for a window cleaner. But then I was like, well, what does he need? Because the long pole people who come down our street have a Vauxhall Vivaro, but I think they have a water tank in the back.
Yes, if you carry your own liquid, then of course you're going to need a Bowser.
Bowser, that's a few. Yeah.
There's a few of them kicking about around here. And I think, so old school is ladders. New school is telescopic poles.
Yeah.
That's the way I think with window cleaners. And you always know you're kind of... I think old school window cleaners, they don't care about vans and a decent sign writing. It's usually a bedraggled estate car with the seats torn out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's cheaper and with roof bars.
Yeah.
Done. Job done.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what surprised
me. It's a bit like VW Transporter, body-coloured bumpers, lowered, so obviously the van gets trashed and the bumpers are £2,000. So they haven't really thought it through, but it's very stylish.
But that's the thing. It's like the Vivaro people, I think you're right, they've got the Bowser on board. There's two of them.
Yeah.
From memory, they wear polo shirts, like sort of, so they look corporate.
Yeah, with embroidery.
Yeah.
And they're very good.
They're not cheap, but they're very good and they're quick and they do a good job and it's all fine. And we've used them before and that's fine. But now I'm sort of thinking, so on the one hand, professional, polo shirts, long poles, Bowser, all good, get the job done. Or old school, ladders, absolutely office tits, Euro, vocoder nonsense. it's good. This is market forces at work, isn't it? You have a choice of window cleaners.
Very surprised. What's the future of... of window cleaning? Are we going to get electric vans? Are we going to see?
Oh yeah. Well, the electric van would be all right if you're doing a sort of reasonably contained area. You're never going to drive sort of 200 or 300 miles in a day, are you? But
of course you're not. Nobody's going to hire a window cleaner to come 50 miles out.
You could use your battery to power your pump from your Bowser.
Well, and the Eurodance.
So you and the Eurodance.
You could leave Eurodance on for 2 hours, and it's not going to destroy the battery, really, is it? Because the whole thing's a bloody great battery. Also, solar panels on the roof, which you can keep clean yourself, presumably, what with your job being to clean things.
Yep.
And there you go. So all it will mean is everyone that has their windows cleaned has to put up with, I don't know, whatever you're listening to. I was just going to... Burner Boy, for example, they're going to be listening to a bit of Burner Boy and AJ Tracy.
Oh, AJ Tracy, yes, of course.
AJ Tracy's
live
good.
And direct,
Burner Boy is... Yeah, exactly. But Burna Boy is very vocoder heavy. Very, very vocoder heavy.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not down with it.
Yeah.
I'm
down with it. Well, anyway, there we go. We should probably climb down the ladder of this podcast and get back into.
Yeah, I've finished handing out my braids, and I've put the guitar back in my my T6 transporter, and I've rolled up my Mexican blankets. I don't know about you. Have you put your windsurf board back in, having just left it outside and not been on it yet?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know how to use it. I'm just having a shower on a beach, rinsing my feet off. Got a pair of those Brazilian branded flip flops. So before we go, first thing to say is we have, as we mentioned last week, a new email address. It's hello@smithandsniff.com. Thank you to everyone who decided to try it out by sending us messages. We had some really good ones, which I was going to read out some this week, but we've run out of time. So maybe next week we'll do.
We're so terrible at that.
Please do keep emailing in if you've got any thoughts on, I don't know, the future of window cleaning or the G7 summit. That's pretty much the bookends of this nonsense. Before we go, I also have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, on which there are many great things, including a video of his Dodge Charger. And an excellent two-part interview with Matte Rimac of Rimac. I don't know, that's a statement of the obvious there at the end.
No, it's not obvious. I like it. Well said.
Second thing I have to tell you is I have various books out. Two of them are called Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia, Volumes 1 and 2. That's not the actual titles, but search that. You'll find them. They're by Sniff Petrol. They're available exclusively on Amazon as ebooks or paperbacks. And three, Owls Are Thick.
What, as in they're stupid?
Yeah, so this is the thing. We, in Western culture, it turns out, particularly, we regard owls as wise. But this seems to have come from nowhere, because we went, when we were away the other week, to one of those birds of prey type flying displays. And the...
Oh, they're cool.
The guy with the Janet Jackson head mic doing the talking, they got an owl out, and he went, "Now, we often think of owls as being wise, but that's not true." And I'm quoting, he said, "Owls are thick. For the size of bird, really? They actually have a smaller brain than a lot of other similar-sized birds. And they easily lose their attention span. And they're very good hunters, but that's because they have a sort of preset routine. But they're not adaptable particularly. They are a bit stupid."
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Wow. Well, blow me down with an owl's feather. Yeah. I didn't realise that. I did not
know
that.
You could probably steal one from an owl, because they're easily distracted on account of being dummies.
Thick.
Yes, thanks for listening. We'll do this again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye. Move your arse. Hands in the air. Move your ass. Come follow me.
That all takes on a sinister turn if you imagine that as he's doing it, he's holding a gun.
Oh, what? So you have to do what he says?
Yeah, put your hands in the air. Okay, all right.
All right, man.
Now open the till. Oh, please, no. Put it in the bag.
Take off your watches and your rings and your bracelets and your necklaces and put them in the funky bag.
Yeah.
Oh,
who
gosh.
Has to coach the safe?
That would be such a straight, what, like an uplifting Euro robbery? Yeah.
Should I be enjoying this? I don't know.